Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Amen. I'm going to be starting from where Pastor Tokpe stopped during the first service. Pastor Tokpe talked about the living waters in the first service, and I'm going to be talking about the living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. That was where Pastor Tokpe stopped, so we'll start from there. It's a continuation. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Let's have the Amplified version, and then after then we'll have the Message version. I just want us to see what the bodies here represent. You know, many a times we look at this scripture, and we just think it's talking about our outward look. And thank God for Pastor Tokpe, he delved into that in the first service, saying, your body is not just limited to how you look. So most of the time we just feel this is only about how we look, the way you dress. But it says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Now, what is your body? All your members and faculties. The faculty of thinking, the faculty of your emotion, the faculty of your intelligence, everything that makes you you. So your body here is not just this container. Your body is everything, your members, your thought life, your intelligence, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you act. Let's go to Message. Message has another, a more detailed one. Hallelujah. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life. Now, if you go into the dictionary or if you go on Google, you will see that ordinary life means you're waking up, you're brushing your teeth. God is very particular about those details. You think it's only your marriage or your ministry that God is concerned about. No, God is concerned about how you brush your teeth. Hallelujah. God is concerned about how you take your bath. God is concerned about the soap you use. God is so detailed. It doesn't matter if he's looking after billions of people. But when it comes to you, when it comes to you in particular, God is concerned about your ordinary life. Now, if you search deeper, you'll see that the extraordinary life here talks about how you inspire others, how you bless others, how you motivate others, how you influence others. But you see, the ordinary life is just about you. How you act, how you think, how you sleep, how you feed. You think God is not interested in what you eat? God is interested in your ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work. So God knows that you work. Sometimes we ask God, does God even know that I'm suffering like this? Pastor Tokpe kept saying K2 to VI. God knows that every morning you wake up and you jump on that BRT and you go to VI. God is aware. But he says, this is part of what I want you to give to me. You're walking around life. Everything that makes you you. The Lord says, bring it to me as a living sacrifice. Anything that is living has life. Anything that is living is active. So God is saying every aspect of your life that is active. God is not asking for the dormant sides. God is not asking for the things you are not interested in, because the things you are not interested in are considered dead to you. So for instance, you may have a skill, or maybe someone around you sews clothes and you don't. Is not an active part of your life. God is saying that which you consider active, that which keeps you alive, that which keeps you awake, bring it to me as it is. Don't bring it to me after you have killed it. Don't bring it to me after it is dead. Bring it to me the way it is. Now, anything that is living has the tendencies to struggle. So God understands that even in presenting your body, now you understand the full meaning of body, as a living sacrifice, God understands that you will struggle. Have you ever killed a chicken before? I know these days we don't kill chickens. We just take it to the people who buy it, they kill it, they do everything. But if you kill chicken or goat, the chicken will not tell you that you are bigger than I am. The chicken will struggle. Even though the chicken knows it will die, it will struggle. So God understands the struggle. That you cannot bring your body as a living sacrifice. God knows. And that is why God is asking for it. And God is saying, don't bring it after that aspect of your life is dead. Oh, you have a thriving career. God is saying, lay it at my feet. Don't bring it after you have retired. As a living sacrifice, present it with the life in it. That is what I want. Hallelujah. So tell yourself, God understands my struggles. But it is still not an excuse. Oh, okay. The voices went down. God knows we will struggle. But God is saying, you can do it. Hallelujah. And what is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is when you surrender something of value to a higher being. When you surrender something that is valuable to you. David said, I will not give to God what cost me nothing. So it is not a sacrifice if it is something you can easily give out. If you have worn that shoe and it's no longer valuable to you and you give it to me, it is a gift you are giving me. You are not making a sacrifice. So when you give gifts, it's different from when you sacrifice. When you have 2K in your account and somebody says, I need money, and you share out of that 2K that you were supposed to use for something, that is a sacrifice. If you have 1 million and somebody says, I need 2K, and you give the person 2K, you will get the reward, but what you gave was a gift. If it does not cost you something, it is not sacrifice. So God is saying, that which will cost you something, that which has life, which is active, a part of your life that you dread to part with. I was talking to someone some weeks back, and there's a relationship around the corner. And I asked her, have you prayed to God? Don't smile if you are here, because there you will cast yourself. I will not look at anybody. I'll look at Jesus. And I said, have you prayed about this? And she said, no. So I said, why not? She said, I don't want God to tell me he's the one. You see that particular thing that you're afraid of, that's what God is asking for. As a living sacrifice, it must cost you something. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, it says, present, please put it up again, the NKG. He said, present your bodies. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Not your pastor. It is a living sacrifice, yes, but you will do the presentation. Do you know why this scripture is particular about you doing the presentation? Because, okay, so if you go through the book of Leviticus, some parts of Exodus, you will see that, and that was what the scripture Adetone read to us this morning when she started leading worship, how that the priest goes into the presence of the Lord and makes sacrifices on behalf of people and on behalf of himself. So it is only the priest that is eligible to make sacrifices before the Lord. And that was why when Jesus came, he had to come as our chief high priest. Because that was the only way he could gain access into making sacrifices for us unto the Lord. So he did not come in any other form. He came as the chief high priest because the Bible records that Jesus coming as the chief high priest. You know, sometimes you start reading from the Old Testament and then you think life began at the Old Testament. And then you think the New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament. But guess what? God was saying in the Old Testament, when he was talking to Moses about Aaron, he said, this is a prototype of what will happen in the future. So Jesus coming was not to mimic what happened in the Old Testament. Old Testament was already mimicking what will happen in the New Testament. So when God had already had it in his mind that Jesus would come to redeem us, whatever would happen in the future, he made happen already in the Old Testament, such that the priest would present sacrifices. But because men priests were limited, they would have to present for themselves and also for the people. But when Jesus came, the sacrifice was one off. So Jesus came as our high priest, and he presented not the blood of goats, not the blood of calves, but his own blood as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And at that point, Jesus, being the first heir, he anointed and called all of us into the office of priest, such that the book of Revelation says that we are kings and priests. So because you are a priest, you are eligible to present your body as a living sacrifice. Nobody will do this for you. As a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After Jesus' death, the veil in the temple got torn into two, giving us access into the holies of holies, so that we can present unto him our petition, so that we can speak directly with God. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you are speaking directly to God. You don't need a middleman anymore. So you are not limited in presenting your body because you are not eligible. You are limited because you have not come to the realization that God expects of you to do the presentation. Many a times we want to hide under our spiritual leaders and we say, hey, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. God is saying, you yourself, do the presentation. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans chapter 12, same verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what are the criteria set for this sacrifice? Holy. Holiness is a requirement of us by God. Now, if you've been coming to Tuesday services, you know, we're almost tagging Tuesday services. Holiness service. Pastor has dealt a lot about victory over sin. He talked about the sin nature. He talked about living holy, maintaining your holiness before the Lord. Holiness is not a suggestion by God. It is a requirement of us. Holiness means when you are completely devoted to God. So he says, bring your body as a living sacrifice. But before you bring this body, number one, this body must be holy. Now, as I mentioned body, remember the definition of body from the Amplified Version and the Message Translation. Holiness is a necessity. The Lord was saying in the book of Leviticus, he says, I am holy and I expect you to be holy. Leviticus 20, verse 26. Let's quickly look at it. Leviticus 20. And verse 26. And you shall be holy to me. For I, the Lord, I am holy. And I have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. So being holy means you are wholly owned by God. If you're familiar with corporate organizations, when you have a subsidiary that is wholly owned by an organization, when you get into the subsidiary, everything in that subsidiary speaks the mother company, the parent's company. The logo, the colors, the culture, the value, everything. The moment an organization takes over another organization, I'm sure you've seen banks. There was a time Ecobank took over Oceanic. Within the twinkle of an eye, everything changed. The logo changed. He says, I am holy, and so you have to be holy. And don't tell me this is just Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16 also. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in what? In what? Be holy in all your conduct. Now remember that we defined body. So I want you to replace conduct with body. As he called you, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your body. In all of your members. In all of your faculty. It is not only about what you say. You know, it's very easy to hide your thoughts. I mean, nobody reads anybody's thoughts. So if you see somebody and you tell the person, oh, you look so good. And in your mind, they think she wears it. The Lord is saying, I'm not just interested in what you say. What you think of. How you think of it. Be holy in all of your conduct. Holiness is a requirement. The moment Adam crossed that line with God, there was no sparing. You would have thought the man that God made and God was always coming to check on him and God was loving up on him, that God would probably say, okay, I give you a second chance. The moment he began to receive instructions and advice from the devil, the Lord cut him off. The moment you begin to receive, Pastor was preaching, was it last week, and talk about the jealous God? Or was it Tuesday? It was on Tuesday. If you've not been coming for Tuesday service, I want to implore you to please try. Hallelujah. Holiness is key. Now, if you may be telling yourself, oh, maybe God is even too strict. Maybe God's own service too much. God, your own is too much. You may be thinking in your mind. But I want you to quickly look at a particular story in the Bible that talks about even how human kings think. And I'm going to go to the book of Esther. Hallelujah. We all know the story of Esther. We know the story of Mordecai. I'm going to start from Esther chapter 2. What God expects from us is not a one-time holiness thing. It's a continuous, consistent walk of holiness. The book of Esther chapter 2, verse 12. So this was a story where the king was angry with Vashti, and Vashti was banished from the land. And the king's advisors told him, why don't we get virgins for you? Chapter 2 and verse 12. No, don't let me jump to verse 12. Let me start from verse 3. And let the king appoint, I'm reading from Amplified, in case it doesn't tally with what you have. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom to gather all the beautiful young virgins to the capital in Shushan, to the harem under the custody of Agai. Now, the harem here means a place that is dedicated for women in the palace. It could be the king's concubines. It could be the king's female relatives. Even sometimes, the king's queen could be, you know, staying in the harem. So it's a place where it's like a female hostel in the palace, but it's a place where you keep every woman that has a relationship with the king. And let the things for purification be given them. Let the maiden who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. I jump to verse 9. And the maiden pleased Agai and obtained his favor, and that was Esther. And he speedily gave her the things for her purification and a portion of food, and the 7 chosen maids to be given her from the king's palace. And he removed her and her maids to the best apartment in the harem. I jump to verse 12 now. Now when the turn of each maiden came to go into the king Ahasuerus, after the regulations for the women had been carried out for 12 months. So these women were kept in a particular place for a period of 12 months, for just one purpose, the purpose of purification. You cannot go into the king. You cannot have access to the king if you have not been purified. And what were the things that they were given for purification? If you go back to verse 9, it says, our things for purification, our food, and our maidens. Now, the reason you struggle with living holy is because, one, you don't watch what you surround yourself with. Pastor Tokwe was talking this morning about the washing by the word. You don't watch what you eat. The things you allow into your system, the things you allow into your body, the things you allow, the things you feed on, the music, the words, everything that you feed on with your eyes, with your mouth, with everything, with your faculty. And you don't watch your company. Agai separated unto Esther a portion of food, a purification items, and our own 7 maiden. Because your communion, your relationship has a lot to do with your purification. If you keep running with the wrong set of people, it will be difficult for you to live a holy life. If you cannot say no, some people just can't say no. Do you know why we can't say no? Because we feel bad that we are hurting the people we are saying no to. But the people you're saying you don't want to say no to are hurting your life. and they don't care. But you are being considerate at the detriment of your spiritual life. You're being conservative at the detriment of your spiritual life. Somebody calls you and says, you've not even called me in a while. You are deliberately avoiding the person, but you find it difficult to tell the person, I'm trying to cut away from you. Then you tell the person, I've been busy, it's work, in fact, network. If network could talk, all the people that have been lying against network, network would have spoken against them. Just because you're trying, I don't want to hurt her feelings. We've been friends for a while. I don't know how to tell her that I don't want to be her friend again. Your companions, your relationships, they are the things standing in the way of your holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so these women were kept aside in the harem and they were consistently taken care of for 12 months. Remember the story of Daniel and his friends. The king put them in a place and they were being purified for 3 years. God is not asking for 12 months. God is not asking for 3 months. God is asking for forever. God does not want us to be holy for just 1 month. You try it in 1 week. Have you ever witnessed a situation where you pray well in one particular week and you know you prayed well? You know you studied well. You felt very spiritual. Then the next week you tell yourself, I deserve a break. And you tell yourself, I'm not the only one the devil is chasing. I prayed last week. The moment you tell yourself you deserve a break, that break is indefinite. Until God sends deliverance again, you will not get that fire back. God is not asking us to be hot today, cold tomorrow. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. God wants you perpetually hot. And he has given us the grace to do it. We just need to be able to lean on him. Hallelujah. So if human kings require that you are purified before you can come into their inner chambers, into their own holies of holies, then God expects more from us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It is not holy or acceptable. It is holy and acceptable. Holy, acceptable. You see, that comma is what you use in place of and. For how many English tutors do we have? English lecturers or teachers do we have here? When you list items, you can't put bring your biro and pencil and ruler and what do you do? Biro, comma. Pencil, comma. When you get to the last one, you put and. So it is not only or acceptable. So why is there an emphasis on acceptable? Acceptable is when you make something pleasing. I take marriage classes and I tell people, it is not good enough. It is not enough to know your partner's love language. How many of you are familiar with love languages? Okay. So it's not sufficient to just know your partner's love language. For instance, one of the love languages we have is the giving of gifts. You know that you have maybe a fiancé or a wife or a spouse who loves gifts. Some people love gifts. You should not only know that the person loves gifts. You should know how the person loves the gifts. How this person wants to be loved. There are two sisters that I know, and this is real life. They both love gifts. But one loves material gifts. If you want to give me handbag, 5 yards of lace, give me shoe, nice things. The other sister loves tiny things. Just go to the store and buy a key holder that has porcupine or something. Or buy her a pen that is very beautiful, that writes with different colors. They both got married. The one that likes petty things got married, and the husband was always giving her lace, shoe, handbag, and she never appreciated it. So they began to have issues, and I asked her, what's your love language? She said, it's receiving gifts. The guy said, but I always give you gifts. She said, I don't like the gifts you give me. So it's not enough. That gift is not acceptable. So even though you know the love language of this person, you have not sought how this person loves to be given gifts. If your spouse's love language is attention, for instance, some people just want, or maybe quality time. Some people just want you to sit by their side and hold their hands. Don't talk. That's quality time for them. But some people's definition of quality time is, let's be going up and down together. We'll go to one restaurant. We'll go to one shop. Just be by my side. Be talking to me. Be singing. Be shouting. So it's not enough to just say, what's your love language? You're looking at your wife. Don't just stop at knowing the person's love language. You should ask, how do you love to be loved? Acceptable before the Lord is God telling us, I have a specific way that I want to be worshipped, that I want to be loved, that I want to be honored, that I want to be acknowledged. You can't come to God and you are acting the same way you would do anyway. That's why I said, I have separated you unto myself. I own you. Hallelujah. So I hope that explains acceptable to you. Present your bodies holy and acceptable. Let's go back to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2. Now I jump to verse 15. No, let me start from verse 13. So after Agai gave them all the things for purification, verse 13 says, then in this way, the maidens came to the king. Now whatever she desired was given her to take with her from the harem into the king's palace. So after they got purified, they were expected to go to the king with a gift. And so the ladies were permitted to choose anything they liked to go to the king with. So you could decide you want to buy Rolex watch for the king. They will make it available. As money speak. You could decide you wanted to go to the king with a bracelet, whatever it was. They made it available. Then verse 14, in the evening, she went, and next day, she returned into the second harem in the custody of Shazag. Now, Shazag is different from Agai. Agai is more like the entry point into the palace. That particular harem is for every woman that comes into the palace. Not necessarily if you've had any relationship with the king. The second harem, are you looking at it? Because as I'm speaking, be looking at the design of the temple in the book of Exodus. Now the second harem is where you have gone into the king. You have had a night encounter with the king. You have interacted with the king. But the king does not find you acceptable enough to be his queen. So he keeps the person in the second harem. So at first you came in and you were in the outer court. And you were taken care of. Of course, you got everything you needed. You got the attention you wanted. Then at a point, you became qualified to go in to see the king. And you got back into the holy place. And there you had beautiful worship. You had a beautiful time in the presence of the Lord. But you couldn't last long there. Because there was an issue with your acceptability. You couldn't stay long. You couldn't sustain the encounter. You couldn't sustain that presence that you carried. Even though it was so strong, you were crying, you were shaking. But somehow, you could not sustain the encounter. You remain in that place. You can't advance into the holies of holies. And then verse 15. Now, when the turn for Esther, the daughter of Habiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken him as his own daughter, had come to go into the king, she required nothing. But what Agai, the king's attendant, the keeper of the women, suggested. Because Esther had found favor in the sight of all who saw her. So it was time for Esther to go in. And Esther had heard news. Everybody that has been going in has not been able to sustain the presence. They've not been able to sustain their encounters. They keep coming back. They are not able to proceed beyond that level. So what Esther did was to go to Agai. Now don't forget that every woman that should have a relationship with the king would have to pass through who? Agai. So Agai was a man who understood what the king wanted. Agai was a man who knew what the king would look out for in a woman. Agai was a man who understood the way the king wanted to be loved. It would be very foolish of Esther, who had only stayed in the palace for 1 year, to believe that she had whatever it would require for the king to love her. So she sought Agai, because Agai had been with the king longer, and Agai could tell what the king wants. And so she sought Agai. When Jesus, our holy high priest, came, he said unto us, I will give you a spirit that will teach you all things. Because the book of Corinthians says nobody knows the heart of any man except his spirit. The same applies to God. You cannot know the will of the Father except by the Spirit of God. So he says, so that you can know what is acceptable, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will hold your hands whenever you need to worship. And you say, Holy Spirit, I need to worship the Father. He teaches you what to do. He leads you into the inner court. He leads you to the Holy of holies. It leads you to the place where you can sustain your encounter, where you can sustain the presence of God. So Esther got wise and spoke to Agai. And what Agai suggested, she took with her when she was going to the king. And the Bible records that when Esther got to the king, and the king loved Esther more than all the women. It didn't matter if there were still 20 women waiting behind Esther. The king saw Esther and he made up his mind. It didn't matter if Esther was just in the middle and some people still needed to be given a chance. No more chance for anybody. Esther had come and the case was closed. And the Bible did not record that Esther was one of those who returned to the second harem. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, acceptable unto God. You see, the reason you struggle with your encounter, you come to church on Sunday and you are all fired up, but on Monday you find it difficult to pray. And then you ask yourself, I was the same person worshiping in church yesterday, but today you don't even know where to start from. It's because you have not been able to lean 100% on the Holy Spirit to help you sustain your encounters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God teaches us all things. All things. All things. The king loved Esther. The king gave a feast for Esther. The king declared a public holiday for Esther. The love was so much that even when Esther needed to make a request before the king, at first she was afraid. She told Mordecai, she says, nobody goes to the king except he calls me. And the king has not called me in 30 days. Ooh. So that meant that she had been having regular relationships and interactions with the king. But she said, but for the past 30 days, the king has not called me. I am not sure if I can go. You know what? You are accepted. But because you keep staying behind, you keep loitering around the corridors under the guilt of sin and under the threat of the devil keeps telling you it's been 30 days you've not prayed. The devil told you it's been 1 week you didn't study your Bible. And then you keep holding back because you feel, Lord, I am no longer accepted. I no longer have the Spirit of God in me. Esther took the bold step. And as the king saw her, he extended a welcome to her. You are already accepted. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then you have access to come boldly to the throne of grace at any time, at any moment. Nothing holding you back. Nothing keeping you down, because the Lord has accepted you already. Hallelujah. So you have the access to approach. Don't let the devil give you ideas in your mind and tell you that, you know, for 2 weeks you have not studied the Bible. So before you can, and that was what Esther did. Esther said, I have to pray. I have to fast. She went to the king. She requested for attention. It didn't matter what plans the king had that evening. The king canceled his schedule. He cleared his calendar for Esther. He said, Esther, what do you want? She requested for yet another day. It didn't matter if the minister of petroleum was coming to see the king the next day. He canceled his schedule. The Lord is saying, come boldly. The reason you can't come boldly is because you know you are falling short of this requirement of holiness and acceptance. But the Lord is saying, come. I need you to come. I need you to present to me everything about your life. Sometimes I think we feel that when we present some things to God, he snatches it from us. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and you will see how the flow of grace becomes unending in your life. You see how that you can easily access his throne, how that you don't have to struggle, how that you can easily speak to the Lord and have interactions and fellowship with the Lord. I want you to rise to your feet this morning, and I'm going to ask the Lord, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to live a holy life. I receive the grace to live a life acceptable unto you. I receive the grace to live a life acceptable unto you. Romans 12 and verse 2. We're going to do this while in the atmosphere and the mood of prayers. Romans 12 and verse 2. Hallelujah. Hey kadaba shakata bali kadabo sekete bali kadabo suntalia. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Give me an amplified or message. Give me a message. Verse 2. Hey kadaba shakete embelekete belekete gede. Lord, I present my entire life with you this morning, huh? I place my life on the altar of worship this morning as a living sacrifice. No more to my struggles. No more to my struggles. No more to my struggles. Now, Romans 12 verse 2 talks about acceptance. Give me NKJV first. Before we come to message, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. So if you are beginning to ask yourself, how can I make myself acceptable? The Lord is telling you, don't be conformed to your world. Give me a message translation. The Bible says that love with the world is enmity with God. If you want to be acceptable, then you have to deal with the issue of conforming to the world. He said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Before you know it, you are already following the trend. Before you know it, you are already living like your colleagues. Before you know it, you are already using foul languages because you hear people use it. Don't fit into it without giving it a thought. Instead, you want to be accepted? Fix your attention on God. He says, when you fix your attention on God, you will be changed from inside out. There will be a turning. There will be a change. There will be the work of righteousness going on within you. And you will be changed from inside out. He says, readily recognize what he wants from you. And quickly, there is an attitude to responding to God. Don't slack. Don't lag. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you. God makes you fit for his purpose. God makes you acceptable unto him. Why don't you lift your hands to the Lord this morning and begin to receive grace? Lord, I receive grace to live a holy life. I receive grace to live life that is acceptable unto you. I receive grace to be focused on you. I want to fix my gaze on you. I want to fix my gaze on you. I receive grace to bring up everything that pertains to me before you and place on the altar of worship this morning. Spirit of the Lord, help me. Spirit of the Lord, I need help. You know, the destinies of so many people were tied to Esther. Esther could not afford to fail. Now, when you hold back from surrendering all to God, when you hold back, you are holding back not only yourself, but every other destiny that is tied to your life. So most of the time, when the devil keeps you behind the bar, when the devil keeps you behind and not wanting you to, you know, yield it all to God, it is sometimes not even only about you. It is because aside from you, all the destinies tied to you will also go down. If Jesus had not died on the cross of Calvary, we all will be destroyed. So if you don't even feel like praying this prayer for yourself, just think about every other life that is attached to you. Every other destiny that is attached to you. Your children, your immediate family members. Every other destiny that is waiting and beckoning for you to respond to the Lord. And you say, Father, I receive grace. Spirit of God, I receive grace. Oh, ligete bo shekete. I receive grace to live a holy life, to be consistent with you, to be consistent in my walk with you. I receive grace not to be weary. I receive grace not to be tired. I receive grace not to quit. Ligete bo shekete. I receive grace not to be discouraged. Ligete bo shekete. Oh, Spirit of God, help us. Help me, Lord. I receive grace to sustain my encounters. My encounter with the Lord will not be a thing of the past. My encounter with the Lord will not be a thing of the past. I receive grace to sustain my encounters. I receive grace to sustain the presence of God in and around me. Now, let me tell you, there are sacrifices and there are sacrifices. There are sacrifices and there are sacrifices. There are some sacrifices. When they begin to arrange the altar, nobody notices anything. After the priest lights the fire and the smell begins to go up, then the Lord will smell the sweet smell and then the Lord will proclaim his blessing. But there are some sacrifices. God does not wait for fire to come on them. God does not wait for man to light the fire. The moment God sees the altar and he sees the sacrifice on the altar, he releases his own fire from above and he consumes the sacrifice immediately. That is the holy and acceptable sacrifice where the Lord looks upon you and on a daily basis he showers you with his presence. He puts his fire upon you that you are so engulfed in his fire and then you can say, I live in him, I breathe in him, I walk in him, because you are alive, worthy of God's presence on the daily. Begin to say, Lord, on my altar of worship, release your fire afresh. I present myself to you as a carrier of your presence. I present myself to you as a carrier of your grace. I present myself to you as a carrier of your fire. Father, release your fire afresh. Release fire on these altars.